Congregation of Second CRC, as we come to rest in God's word this evening, would you join me in a word of prayer? Dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this time that we can gather together to praise your name, to worship you, to rest in you. We thank you for the blessing and privilege to be able to read and study your word together. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. We pray that you would bless this time now as we prepare to dive into your word, Heavenly Father. I especially pray that you would give me the words to speak this evening, Heavenly Father. May they be your words and not mine. Help me to be attentive to your Holy Spirit's guidance and leading. And may your name be honored, glorified, and magnified. In your precious Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Exodus, where we will be reading from chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Once again, that's chapter 20, verses 8 through 11 from the book of Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord. I want you to imagine with me this evening that it is a cold, blustery winter morning on a Sunday. I'm pretty sure that that's not too hard for all of us to do here since we live in the Midwest, am I right? So imagine that a fresh falling of snow has taken place overnight, inches upon inches, creating a nice white carpet of snow. As you make your way into church that morning, you take a look out over a river that runs alongside your church. It's completely frozen over due to it being the dead of winter. And as you're making your way in, you turn to look and survey the beautiful landscape, and as you're taking a look, you see a lone figure on the ice, assuming that they're skating, and you gaze a little bit further, and lo and behold, it's the pastor skating to church on the ice. So he arrives and conducts the service as normal, but him skating to church on the Sabbath raises quite a bit of contention and debate, discussion amongst the congregation, and eventually, the question is asked of the pastor, though, did you enjoy skating up the river? Now, this story from John Drakeford can leave us asking the question, what ought we to do on the Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, as we now call it? What may we do on the Sabbath, and what should we not do on the Sabbath? We're going to talk about these questions later on, but it helps address the fact that there's a lot of gray areas, a lot of Christian freedom when it comes to this commandment, compared to some of the others. We're going to explore this commandment of Sabbath rest in 3 points this evening. 1, remember. 2, restriction of work. And 3, rest. Let's now turn to take a look at our first point this evening of remember. As we come to the start of our text this evening, we read the following in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And taking a look at this verse, I want us to especially focus in on that word, remember. What comes to mind when you think of that word, remember? Maybe you needed to remember some important fact for a test that you needed to study for. Maybe you had something you needed to remember to pick up from the store on your way home from work. Maybe you had a phone number that you had to try to remember to call back later on. There's a lot of things that we have to remember over the course of our lives. In these examples, it seems to be merely intellectual remembering, though. Remembering of some sort of information that we have to keep in mind. But that's not the kind of remembering that's being mentioned here in our text. A great example of this kind of remembering that others have given is your anniversary. Another example could be a birthday. When it comes to remembering an anniversary or birthday, it should not merely be the remembering of a date, although that is extremely important and crucial. When you remember it, there's action involved in the remembering. You celebrate. Maybe for an anniversary, you get each other gifts or flowers, or you have a nice dinner out or make a nice dinner at home. For birthdays, maybe you get a cake and you receive presents. Spend time with family. Already mentioned, it's celebrating. And that word celebrate is going to play an extremely important role that I want you to keep in mind as we consider Sabbath rest this evening. So as we see here, Sabbath rest is to be actively remembered, actively kept by the people of Israel. Taking a look at the end of verse 8 concerning the phrase, by keeping it holy, the Sabbath day's importance is highlighted. The Sabbath day is a special day. With it being holy, we see that the Sabbath day is to be set apart from the other days, the other six. Elsewhere in Scripture, we see just how special the Sabbath day is. Later on in the book of Exodus, we read in chapter 31, verse 14, the punishment that's prescribed for those who broke the Lord's Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. We even see this punishment carried out later in the book of Numbers, in chapter 15, verses 32 through 36, when someone gathered wood on the Sabbath. We might think, surely that can't be. That's such a devastating punishment for such a small action. While this punishment is no longer prescribed, with Christ taking our penalty on the cross, we see just how special Sabbath rest is, though, how important it is to God, and how important it is that we actively remember it. As we survey over the course of the Old Testament, we see time and time again that the Israelites failed to keep the Lord's Sabbath. They failed to actively remember it. In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 21, we read that the land finally rested after the exile of the people of Israel occurred. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Even after the exile, though, we still continue to see Israel failing to keep the Lord's Sabbath. Towards the end of the book of Nehemiah, we read the following as he reflects upon some of the various reforms that he set in place. Even with those reforms, people continued to work on the Sabbath. We read in chapter 13, verse 17, that Nehemiah rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What is this wicked thing you are doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your forefathers do the same things so that our God brought all this calamity upon us and upon this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath." Here and elsewhere throughout the Old Testament, we see how Israel continuously treated the Lord's Sabbath with disregard as just another day of the week, not remembering to keep it holy. But this is just one end of the spectrum. As we move on to our second point this evening, restriction of work, we're going to see the complete opposite end of the spectrum. As we come to our second point this evening, we continue on then in verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. In this set of verses, we see the complementary of verse 8. In verse 8, we read what the command is, and then in verse 9, we are told how it's to be kept. Breaking down the set of verses, we see that in verse 9, the Israelites are told that they are to complete their work within 6 days, And then continuing into verse 10, that the seventh day is to be a Sabbath to the Lord your God. We see here that this portion of our text shifts our focus now back onto our work, particularly how the other 6 days are to look in light of the seventh day being one of rest, one of Sabbath. Because of the seventh day being one of rest, we are blessed with 6 other days to do our work. We're not to be slack in our work the other 6 days. We're to work well. This can be a much-needed message in our culture today, as rest tends to be elevated, even strived for, instead of working. As we see throughout Scripture, the work is good. Adam was charged to care for the Garden of Eden. We even see Jesus doing the Father's will throughout the course of his life. In fact, in John 5:17, Jesus says, "My Father is always at work, at his work to this very day, and I too am working." Tying back into this topic of Sabbath, we see that Jesus said this in defense after healing a man on the Sabbath. We especially see that work and rest are good, as it was the pattern that was set forth by God in creation, that he set forth himself. This is why that rhythm of work and rest is good. Continuing on in the text, we read, "On it you shall not do any work." Now, this statement is left pretty open throughout the rest of the passage. We don't really have any specifics given as to what work is being referred to. To help us in our understanding of this, Philip Ryken, a scholar writing on the book of Exodus, says the following concerning Sabbath rest. "It is not a day for business as usual. Rather, it is a day for relaxation and recuperation, a day to step back from life's ordinary routines in order to rediscover God's goodness and grace." That first sentence there, "It is not a day for business as usual," this helps us shed a bit of light on what's being conveyed here. The day-to-day work that we normally do is not to be done. Rather, the work is to be set aside, and we are in turn to rest in God one day out of the week. Looking at the last part of this set of verses, we see whose work is restricted. "Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." Now that seems like a pretty long list, so we're going to break it down a little bit. We've already been talking about personal rest of oneself so far. So next we read that children are also to rest. They're included in that rest. We see that this notion of passing along to the next generation proper worship of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, God commands the Israelites concerning teaching these various commands to their children. "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And having the children rest, we see that that one generation is setting the example for the next generation. Next, that's mentioned is servants. This rest not only extended to the entire family, but also one's workers. Once again, we return to the book of Deuteronomy, this time to chapter 5, verse 14, when Moses repeated these very commandments to the next generation of Israelites before they entered into the land of Canaan. There it's noted that servants are invited to rest so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Their servants were to be allowed to rest, showing how the Israelites were supposed to be different from the nations around them. After that, animals are also included in Sabbath rest. We see that God cares for his creation, which he has placed us in charge of as stewards of his creation. So we are to care for the creatures that he has placed in dominion under us. With this in mind, it should be noted that even the land itself was included in Sabbath rest. We kind of touched on that a little bit earlier. In the book of Leviticus, we read in chapter 25, verse 2, "When you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord." Thusly, we see that 6 years are given for sowing and harvesting, but that seventh year, the land was to be unsown, untended, so that way it could rest. As we saw earlier, Israel failed to do this. So the land finally enjoyed its Sabbath rests after the people were exiled. This just drives home, once again, that God cares for his creation. Lastly, foreigners who are in Israel are also to take part in Sabbath rest. As we mentioned before, the Israelites were to be a nation set apart for the Lord. So we see that they were to stand apart from the rest of the nations. We see that once again here with foreigners being able to take part in Sabbath rest. As we mentioned previously, the Israelites failed to remember to keep the Lord's Sabbath over the course of their history. But as we draw closer to the New Testament, we see kind of a pendulum shift in the opposite direction towards legalism. We see man-made traditions being elevated over the heart of the commandment. We see that instead of complete disregard for the Sabbath, that man-made laws and traditions were elevated, albeit with good intention of actually following God's law, but to the point that they follow man's traditions over God's command. However, they're not the only ones who live these two complete opposites. While we've been taking a look at the polar opposite ways Israel observed the Sabbath over the course of their history, we cannot neglect to look at ourselves. We too can fall on both ends of these spectrums, of the spectrum. It's so easy in our culture today to either completely disregard the Lord's Sabbath, doing our own thing, treating it as just another day in a seven-day week. But it's also easy for us to fall on the opposite end of the spectrum, where man-made traditions are elevated and viewed as keeping Sabbath rest. But as we take a look at the New Testament, we see that there's a third way, a third point that brings us to our third and final point this evening of rest. As we come to our third and final point this evening, we read in verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Here in verse 11, our minds are once again recalled to creation, where we see God establish this pattern of work and rest, a rhythm to life. Because God himself worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day, we too are to rest. We're called to imitate God's pattern. We look to this middle point between the two extremes of either complete disregard of Sabbath or a legalistic view of the command. It's especially important for us to highlight the fact that Sabbath rest is not to be a drudgery. In our culture today, Sabbath rest can kind of have negative connotations that surrounds it, as we desire to either do our own thing. Other times, it's seen as a list of do's and don'ts. One of the early church fathers, Augustine, really got at the condition of our hearts in this quote. "You stir man to take pleasure in praising you, because you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Sabbath rest was set in place by God. We should desire and look forward to the Lord's day each week. As Jesus states in Mark 2, verse 27, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." The Lord's day should be a joy for us, something that we should actively celebrate out of gratitude for what God has done for us in Christ. Just like we mentioned earlier with, in regards to a couple's anniversary or the celebration of a birthday, it isn't just head knowledge. There is active celebration. So too is Sabbath rest. It is to be celebrated. And we especially celebrate a better Sabbath rest that can only be found in Christ, that he gives to us. As we look at ourselves through the law given by God, we see just how sinful we are. We don't keep the Sabbath perfectly. Whether we completely disregard it, treat it as just another day of the week, maybe our hearts are in the wrong place, or we see traditions of people as keeping the Sabbath. Whatever the case may be, we fall short of God's commands. But thanks be to God that in Christ, We find a better rest, rest from our sins, which Christ atoned for through his life, death on the cross, and resurrection from the dead. If there are any here this evening or watching online that don't know the Lord, I implore you, accept the free gift of grace held out by God. Confess your sins and believe in Jesus, putting your faith in him, resting in his sacrifice on the cross. With this in mind, how are we to celebrate Sabbath rest today? What does it look like for us to celebrate Sabbath rest? The Heidelberg Catechism helps us in answering this question. In question and answer 103, we read the following. Question: what is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? Answer: first, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. As we see here in this question and answer, there's a lot that's spelled out clearly as to what we should do on the Sabbath. As we celebrate the Lord's Day, we attend worship regularly. We bring offerings. We pray. We gather together. We celebrate the sacraments. Also mentioned here, we see that we are to rest from our evil ways as we take up our crosses and die to ourselves daily, and are made more and more like Christ through the working of his Holy Spirit. But that may leave us thinking, but what else? What about all the gray area stuff, the Christian freedoms that we have? Here we need to know that there's a lot of recreational things that can be done that's also God-honoring. Maybe it's going for a walk in God's beautiful creation, enjoying the beautiful colors that he is so marvelously displaying, praising him for it. Maybe it's taking a rest and sleeping. Maybe it's taking time to fellowship with believers. Obviously, we want to make sure that we don't abuse the freedom that we have in Christ. But as we are shaped more and more like Christ through the working of the Holy Spirit, we are able to discern what is honoring in God's sight, which helps us get away from that legalistic sense. Brothers and sisters, as we go about our daily lives, we can get worn down and wearied through the mundane of life. This is why it's so crucial for us to take time to rest. And thanks be to God that he has given us rest. God knows our hearts. He knows our frailties, our needs. As we saw in our first point this evening, remember, we are to actively remember God's Sabbaths, and not completely disregard them, treating them as just another day, but rather as a day to worship our Lord and Savior. In our second point, restriction of work, we see that a rhythm of work and rest has been established, that we are to rest 1 out of 7 days, but also that the other 6 days that we work, we're to work well. And in third, in our point of rest, we saw that God himself was the one to establish that pattern of work and rest, that we are to imitate and celebrate the rest that he has given to us in Christ. As we go about this life, we can take comfort knowing that we can rest our restless hearts in the Lord, knowing that he gives us rest. Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And dear congregation, brothers and sisters in Christ, we look forward to our Lord and Savior's return one day, when we celebrate, as the Catechism puts it, an eternal Sabbath rest, and we praise and worship our Lord and Creator for all eternity. Amen. Dear Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that we could spend in your word this evening. We thank you for rest that you have given to us so graciously. We pray that you would help us as we go out into our weeks to work well, honoring you through the work that we do, and that we would look forward ever more presently to the next Lord's Day and eventually to the future eternal Sabbath rest. We love you and thank you and praise you for all that you do, but especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and his death on the cross for our sins. We pray that you would forgive us as we fall short every day, Heavenly Father. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In your precious Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.